Well, the word's good.
Amen.
I've been thrilled at the direction, or really since this whole quarantine started and everything back in March. I've just been so thrilled with the direction that the Holy Ghost has had us go to prepare us, to build us up, praise God. And that's what this service is going to be, a continuation of where we've been going, what we've been talking about and helping us. And we'll start in 1 John 5. In verse 4 is a good place to go. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us this morning. Lord, there are people here that need answers from heaven, that need direction, that need encouragement. Father, some of the things that we'll say today will be in preparation for people in the future. Some of the things that are said today are going to help people to get over the mountain or through the walls that are in their way down the road. Help us to receive all that you have for us. Father, whatever you want said, may it be said. If you want anything done in this service, may it be done. Father, we are here to yield to you. You know what's best. You know what needs to be said. Father, interrupt with utterance. Interrupt with revelation. Anything, Father. Lord, I want to speak as the oracles of God this morning. We need this. We need help from heaven, and this is our help. We thank you for a supernatural delivery from heaven this morning. Thank you for bullseyes in every single person's heart being hit here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, one of the unfortunate things that I have to experience as a pastor, and I see it all the time, you know, it's amazing how, I don't go looking for this because I certainly don't ever want to find it, but things get relayed back to me about things people experience that they're going through that, you know, maybe wouldn't listen to the word, wouldn't listen to me, got offended at the church. And, you know, people I've had hour-long conversations with multiple times and just encourage them to go God's way. And you know, when people don't go God's way, there's fallout. There's always consequences. I've felt it in my own life. And with the subject that we're talking about, I always, in my head, you know, when I say get into fear, and fear's wrong, but I'm cautioned that I just want people to recognize, I hope that people are recognizing the direction, seeing things in the world, seeing things in life, seeing what the Holy Ghost is telling us, that we take this stuff seriously because so many people get caught off guard and will not make a change until they hit rock bottom. Rock bottom, or when the bullets are flying at you, is not the time to prepare of how to be ready. That's what boot camp's for. And we know that there's things coming on the earth. In the service we looked at last week, Jesus told us that it's going to look a certain way. It's going to feel a certain way. And Paul said the same thing. And this coronavirus, the worldwide pandemic, should teach us, wow. I mean, it affected every corner of the planet. Grocery stores and jobs and economies and stock markets and paychecks and physical things in people's body. It affected so many people. Something of which we've never seen in our lifetime. You know, I can't remember a time you can't go out and buy toilet paper or meat or whatever, you know. It's just, and the panic and the hysteria. And so I know this, that the Holy Ghost is impressing upon me to let people know, not out of doom and gloom, because I'm telling you, there's no doom and gloom for the Christian. Not only do we have eternity to look forward to, but we have the answer down here. So please, I'm not trying to paint a picture of depression and sadness. I'm trying to paint a picture of reality to get you ready. And this stuff we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg of the things that Jesus said is coming upon planet Earth. But thankfully, we do have the answer. And our answer is 1 John 5 and verse 4. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, we know it's the world that brings things that try to overcome us. Depression, fear, anxiety, sickness, disease, poverty, you know, worry, fear, things in our jobs, things with our families. Those are worldly things that we're not going to have to face in heaven. But they attempt down here to overcome us, to, you know, because we're in a world run by the devil. The devil wants to overtake you. He wants to mess you up. He wants your life to be hard. He wants your life to be bad. And the Bible says if we're born again, this is why we're not discouraged or frightened. It says if we're born again, we can overcome the world. But it's also important to not just take that and run and not read the rest. He tells us there's a method or an avenue in which that overcoming is going to happen. When things of the world press upon you, there's a way to overcome them. He said, this is the victory. He said, our faith. That means your faith. And so we've been looking at what God has said, and we saw some things in the Bible concerning that Jesus told Peter, right? Peter was a target of the one that's in charge of planet Earth. He said, Peter, the devil desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, don't panic, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by that, Peter. And Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pray to God that God would stop the devil or that I'm going to do something about the devil for you. No. He said, Peter, there's a way to get out of this and a way to be okay. Just make sure your faith's not failing. So I'm going to pray for you that your faith doesn't fail, because he knew faith is the answer. Faith is the answer. And then we saw things in the Bible. Mighty men, and we looked at just some of the men, but there's mighty men and women of God in the Bible that did great things for God, great exploits, that overcame impossible situations, that got past impossible situations, that were delivered from life-threatening situations. We saw, if you boil it down to the bare bones of it, they just believed God. And we know in Mark 11, 23 and 24, that's the releasing of our faith through praying and saying. But verse 22 kicks it off. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. All those people, Abraham, just had faith in God. Noah just believed God. Elijah, they believed God. When hell on earth was pressing on them, when things were coming against them, they just believed God. But we know this, faith does not automatically just grow in you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're pumping it into you to continue to believe God. And I want to help you in your faith in God, growing your faith in God. Because if I can get your faith big in him, it doesn't matter how big your problem is. He's always bigger. It doesn't matter how impossible it is. He's the God of the impossible. It doesn't matter how naturally there's no way. He's the God of supernaturally. He supersedes the natural. So it all boils down to, you know, Abraham, Moses, Noah, Elijah, David, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Ruth, Esther, all these people, they didn't have formulas. Step by step, they just believed God. Have faith in God. Go with me real quick to Galatians 6 and verse 9. I'm going to help you so much today. Praise God. Help your faith. Help you to grow. Galatians 6, 9. Notice this verse here. Now remember, Jesus said things are coming. People got into 2020 and bam. Life got different. Life got different. And a lot of people are caught off guard. How do you know? They're worried. They're scared. They're afraid. They don't know what they're going to do, you know. And imagine when it gets worse. And so we know these things are coming. And then not only a worldwide thing, just the fact the devil wants to mess you up personally. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Notice this. For in due season, there's a time, we shall reap. But then it finishes with, if we faint not. So what must be guarded against? Fainting. Again, I'm not talking about like the time, you know, I went out without eating anything, went on my walk, and felt like I was going to pass out. Not that kind of fainting. I was lightheaded, man. Not that kind of fainting. That word fainting means to quit. to lose heart, to be discouraged, to throw in the towel, to say, I can't do it anymore. It's not going to happen for me. The Bible says, if we faint, we will not reap. I didn't tell this last night, but I told it last service. It seems good to share it again. I was, this was years and years ago before I pastored. I was working for Jim and Sue over at the farm, and I was mowing the grass out in front of where the house is. That's the office. And I was just minding my own business, and bam, I had a vision. You know, you can't turn visions on and off. I've only had a few of them, but I had a vision. And all of a sudden, I saw my cousin Sarah, who I call her Bear. I saw her climbing a mountain. And on the mountain, you could tell she was struggling. It was very steep, rugged, hard. And towards where she was getting, it was real foggy, so you couldn't see the peak of the mountain. Now, I hadn't talked to her. She wasn't living with me at the time. I didn't know anything that was going on in her life. And at the top was the peak of the mountain, but you couldn't see it. But she was close to it, but she couldn't see it because of all the fog. Well, I knew in the vision, I knew she was going through something extremely hard. But I also knew by revelation, and again, you only can get this by revelation, because she didn't tell me anything, and I wasn't talking to anybody about her. The Holy Ghost shared with me that she's about to quit and give up. But I could see above the clouds that the peak was there, and I knew the peak represented increase. And I knew the peak represented blessing and going forth. Amen. And I stopped the lawnmower, and I got on the phone, and I said, Sarah, I called her Bear, I don't know what you're going through. I said, but I know you're going through something really hard, and you're about to quit. And she started bawling on the phone because it was true. God knew exactly what was happening, obviously. And I knew that if she were to not keep going and pursuing and going in the things of God, her life would look dramatically different going forward. Right. Why? There would be no reaping. Yeah. There's only reaping when you faint not. Yeah. But I also knew, if I can encourage her, I said, you're close. I knew by revelation, she was close. Well, for when you're climbing the mountain, you can't see the top, you feel like you're never going to get there. Right. And discouragement can set in. And I said, you're close. Well, that encouraged her, and she went on, and now she's got three beautiful children, married, you know, and she's going on with God, you know, and she walked into some things that she was spared from some things as well. That's what he's telling us here, that we can't faint, and there's going to be things on the earth that we look at and feel and experience and come to our own personal front door that are going to be great opportunities to throw in the towel. To say, I can't do this anymore. To say, I quit. To say, it's too hard. Or, I'm just not, I can't. That's called fainting. There's no reaping in fainting. He that endures, sometimes there's endurance. He that endures till the end shall be saved. Not he that quits in the middle. And you'll reap if you quit in the middle. No. You'll reap if you don't faint. But there's going to be plenty of opportunities to faint. Plenty of opportunities. Now, real quick, to show you how important it is, James chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, remember that word fainted, because we're going to see that in a minute here. But James chapter 1 and verse 6. Let him ask in faith. You know what faith is? Faith is convinced. The Bible talked about Abraham being in faith, but it gave characteristics about him. It said he was fully persuaded, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, the Bible said. He didn't waver. What does that mean? He didn't, I don't think I'm going to have a child. Oh, I'm going to have a child. Faith that wavers is, I can do it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. There's no unsurety in faith. There's no wondering in faith. There's hope in faith, in Bible hope, like expectation hope, but there's no, I hope it happens. That's not faith. Faith is, I know that I know that I know that I know. And the Bible says, let him ask in faith, no wavering at all. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed to the wind. Let not that person think they'll receive anything from God. What's he saying? If you faint, you know what fainting is? You're all excited, you're fired up, but a month goes by and nothing's changed in your finances. Like, I don't think it's working. You fainted. You fainted. It's not going to happen for me. This never changes for me. It's always going to be the same. You fainted. You've canceled out your reaping. We can't faint. Why? Because God needs your faith. This dumb idea that God can do anything he wants is stupid. Jesus in Mark chapter 6 could there do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them, the Bible said, when he'd just come from Mark chapter 5 and did a mighty work. Before Mark chapter 5, when he went over to the other side, he cast the demon out of the Gadarene demoniac who was bound with chains. That was a miracle. Went, saw Jairus, raised his daughter from the dead, cured the woman with the issue of blood. There were mighty works. He gets over to Nazareth and could there do no mighty work. And the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. God could not move in his own hometown because faith wasn't there to move him on. Faith is the vehicle that carries the grace that you need for your life. The healing comes in on faith. The prosperity comes in on faith. The deliverance, the turnaround comes in on faith. That's why he said, if you're not in faith, don't think you'll receive anything. God is not up there playing dangle the carrot. No, I think. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:20, my promises are yes and amen. Yes. Answer's yes. You want healing? Yes. You need change in your family? Yes. You need differences, something different in your mind, your emotions, your job, whatever? Yes. But until people wake up and realize, you know what, I better do something about my faith. Well, didn't he say in 1 John 5 and verse 4? Whether you overcome or not depends on your faith. Listen, he ain't have any problems with anything down here. Nothing down here troubles him. A Red Sea was no problem for him. Shutting the mouths of lions, not an issue. Sparing you from the furnace, no problem. Stopping time for 24 hours, he did that in the Bible. Not an issue for him. But the Bible said all these things came through faith. That's how God demonstrates on planet Earth. And with things that are coming on the earth, and the only way we overcome is by our faith, we better make sure our faith's not failing. And I want to help you with your faith today. Go to Psalms 27, 13. I'm so thrilled about these services. And man, I get to hear myself yap about it 3 times in a weekend. Especially when he has me preach the same sermon, and it's interesting. Last night's message was different. First service Sunday morning had different utterance, and already so far today, I didn't bring anything up in the last 2 services about Mark chapter 6 in Jesus' hometown. Amen. Jeff gets to see this firsthand being in all the services. He gets to see the word is always fresh. Brother Hagin would stand up for years and years after at camp meeting and tell the same stories and the same scriptures, and different things would come out of it because the word's alive. It's not stale. Now remember, if you faint not or waver not, you'll reap. Look what David said in Psalms 27, 13. He said, I had fainted. One translation said, I would have fainted. Well, that's the thing we got to avoid. You can't faint. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how hard it looks. You can't faint. You can't afford to faint. He said, I would have fainted. Unless, praise God. What's he saying? Well, we know David's life, things came against him. I mean, here he was serving a king that threw spears at him. Here he's anointed to be king, and he's serving the one that's in front of him, and he's throwing spears at him, and he can't do a darn thing about it except serve honorably. I mean, one time David was in a cave, and he could have murdered Saul. No one would have known about it, and he didn't do that. He just cut a little bit of Saul's robe off just to kind of have him go away later and see, wow, someone could have took my life, teach him a lesson. And that smote David's heart to even do that. David was in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. There was armies that came against him. plenty of opportunities to faint. And he said, I would have fainted, which would have handcuffed God from working. Unless, here's your key to not fainting. Are you ready? He said, unless I had believed. What's that mean? Unless I was convinced. Unless I was persuaded to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The Amplified says, what would have become of me had I not believed or been persuaded or convinced that I would see God's goodness in the land of the living? What's David saying his mentality is? He said, unless I had my mind renewed, that I will see, taste, and experience God's goodness towards me. And what's God's goodness? God's goodness is deliverance. God's goodness is healing. God's goodness is provision. God's goodness is favor. All his blessings. David said, I wouldn't have made it. In the world I'm living in, if I wouldn't have believed that God's going to show up and do things for me, I would have been discouraged and despair. And that's where a lot of people in the world are. They don't have any hope outside of their job. They don't have any hope outside of their medicine, outside of the doctors, outside of the economy. I mean, they watch the news and that is their life supply and their lifeline. No hope. When the grocery stores say no and the paycheck says no and the doctors say no, that's all they have. But just like the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says for 12 years she suffered many things and many physicians, spent all she had, grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. All her money, all the doctors, everything, nothing natural could help her, but Jesus could help her. And how did she get her help at the end? Jesus said, your faith did this. Praise God. And David said, I would have fainted unless I had a revelation and a renewed mind to the fact that I am going to see God's goodness. I don't care what I'm seeing now or feeling now. His goodness is coming towards my life, and that will change your life. That's what he said. That's what he said. Not believing in God's goodness would have hurt David, but he said the thing that made all the difference in the world is I was convinced. I was convinced. And let's be honest. Let's take a look at our own lives. Some of us have grown sour over the years, discouraged and hopeless, and it's never going to change, and God will do it for everybody but me. And you need your mind renewed. You've been fainting. You've been fainting. If you're not convinced what I'm facing and the hell on earth I'm going through or the non-abundant life that was promised to me and I'm not experiencing it, if you're not convinced that God's working on that behind the scenes and working to change that, you fainted. You need to get your mind renewed to God's goodness. David said, this was my key. And I remember for me, you know, I had talked about when I went to Bible school and how when I had started to learn about faith message and Reverend Marty Blackwater taught that at the beginning, you know, for a person to be a faith giant, to do exploits, you know, Daniel said, they that know God will do exploits. And he said the part that you need to know about God that will help you not faint is you need to know about his goodness. Yes. He said, because of that, I can do this, I won't faint, and then do exploits. But I remember Reverend Marty Blackwater teaching about faith, and he right at the beginning, he said, a person must know, number one, that God is good and that God wants to be good towards you. Amen. You know what I love about David? In Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, he maketh me, all those good verses there. But then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He said, surely, that means certainly. Of a surety, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Well, all the days of his life haven't been lived yet. When he said that, he hadn't been to next Friday. But you know what he had planned for next Friday? Goodness and mercy. You know what he planned for next month? Goodness and mercy. So many people live with the expectation of just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Just waiting for it all to come crumbling down. That's not faith. Why do you think you hear me pray? Every day, I already said this today. Woke up sometime, 4 o'clock, sometime in the morning, took my dog for a walk, and confessed what I believed on that walk. Yeah. First, I'm a little quiet because I'm by houses, but when I get past the houses, I raise my voice. Yeah. And I start shouting what God's going to do for me. Yeah. And you know what I say every day? I say, Father, I thank you. The best days of the rest of my life are ahead of me. I thank you for days of heaven upon the earth. I thank you for days of Ephesians 3 and verse 20. What am I doing? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm not waiting for things to crumble. I know tests and trials will come, but I'm the victor, not the victim. Stop playing the victim. And when he taught about God's goodness, I can only explain it this way. It was like a missing link for me that was what I needed to get to the other side of this bridge, of this journey of going into faith. And because of it now, faith has done things for me in my life that the impossible said could never happen. I've seen it in my kids. I've seen it in my money. I've seen it in my body. I've seen it in the churches. And it was all because I got turned on and excited about a thing called faith. When I realized, wow, life doesn't have to be as is. Faith can turn this around. Let's learn about some faith. And it changed everything for me. But it started, just like David said, in knowing God's goodness. When I got convinced of God's goodness, then it's like this. Then you know, because what did we learn on Wednesday night? That he's for us, with us, and never will forsake us. You need to listen to Wednesday. If you haven't listened to Wednesday, you need to listen to Wednesday. He's for us, with us, and never will forsake us. Well, if he's also good and demonstrates his goodness, and his goodness can take care of any problem, and nothing's too hard for him, it pretty much solves everything we face. When the finances go kaput, it doesn't matter, because God, who there's nothing too hard for, is with me, for me, won't forsake me, and wants to display his goodness towards me. That's all I need to know. But people have such a small picture of who Dad is. And it was the missing link for me. 1 John 4 and verse 16. You have to know that you know that he is good. And we joke about this, and I like to say it, and I do like to antagonize at times because stir certain people up, you know, because it's fun for me. It's fun for me. But I'll say things like I'm God's favorite, and oh, it just ruffles feathers and stuff. But it's true, you know. I really believe, I've renewed my mind that he loves me more than anything on the earth. That if there's any mountain or river or ocean that needs to jump over millions of people, he's going to do it for me. I'm confident in him. But a lot of people aren't that way. David woke up saying, man, I'm going to see it today. I'm going to see God's, he daily loads me with benefits. Goodness and mercy today are on the list for me. But let's be honest, most people wake up with a, ugh, now what? That's not faith. That's not faith. God can't work in that. You know what God can work in? When life is hell on earth, nothing's working out, and you jump up with a smile and say, goodness and mercy today. Father, I thank you. You're moving. I can't see it, but you're moving. God can work with that. He can't work with wavering, doom and gloom, doubt and unbelief. And if you truly believed in his goodness, that would be the attitude you'd have waking up. It's coming. It's coming. Change is, praise God. But 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed. Believe means convinced. We have known and believed the love that God has towards us. Well, his love is a demonstration of his goodness. In his, you know, when he heals people, it's a demonstration of love or his goodness. When he provides people, it's a demonstration of his, whatever he does. And John said, I've known it and believed it. People need to get to the place where they're convinced. Because you know what soured people, and it's unfortunate? It's kind of like this. Christians, Bon Jovi, told us this. If you just would have listened to Bon Jovi. Remember the Bible says that God is love. And what did Bon Jovi say about love? you give love a bad name. Bon Jovi told us that. And Christians have given love or God a bad name. They've been mean. They've been hurtful. They've been users. Maybe churches have soured you. People have soured you. But God has never changed. He's always remained loving, kind, and for you. Yeah, people might have messed you up. Situations might have rubbed you the wrong way. But your Father, and if you've been turned off by Him, you don't have 1 John 4:16 in your heart. Because He only has love and goodness towards you and wants to help you. But notice how it comes to the believing. First, it goes through the knowing. You got to know it before you can believe it. So what we're going to do over the next, I think, this week and next week, definitely not going to get it all done this week, is I'm going to put into you some knowing about God's goodness towards your life. Why? It'll build your faith like David. David was convinced. David was convinced. But I want to show you in the Bible how not knowing His goodness, which is why we need to get to a place where we know it, that we know it, how it'll hurt your faith in Him. Go to Numbers 14 and verse 1. Numbers 14 and verse 1. I don't know if I've ever been led to say this, but this just came from my heart. God knows you can't sit around and listen to archives 24/7. This will help you. So here I preached three different sermons of the same topic, and I've told you, and all three different things came out. Yes. Well, the reason different things came out is because you came to this one, and you weren't at the 8:30 one, and you weren't at Saturday night, but those people were there, and they needed to hear it a certain way and delivered. So when you hear that, don't think, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss out if I don't listen to every service Pastor Mike's preaches. No, that's not true. God understands, but I will say this. If God directs you or leads you to listen to a different service by the leading of the Holy Ghost, that is your cue to listen. But don't think you have to shut down your life and listen to archives 24/7. That's not even realistic. Different utterance because there's different people, different needs, different levels, different places. But the devil will come and say, oh my gosh, but he said something different at 8:30. What if I don't get 8:30? Well, he said something different Saturday night. What if I don't get it on Saturday night? No, chill out. Chill out. He knows. But if He's directing you, amen? So that's just a little nugget the Holy Ghost just told me to share for you. Maybe somebody was dealing with that thought. I don't know. But I didn't say that in the other two services either. But Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Now, this is the children of Israel. This is a group of people we're talking about. And where they're at right now is, remember, they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. Delivered from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, getting ready to move into the Promised Land. And they, what? God said, go spy out the land. They went and looked at the land, and what did they find? Wow, there's tests and trials here. I want to parallel this to your life here. The Bible in the Old Testament is written in types and shadows. What's that mean? It's a type and shadow of what's to come in the New Testament. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea and being delivered from the Egyptians was a type and shadow of your salvation. Amen. Delivered from bondage, delivered from the enemy, delivered from darkness. But then it continues. Once we're saved, we don't just go to heaven. We have a life down here that God said all the promises of God are yes and amen, that He wants us to walk into a promised land, doesn't He? Of healing, of prosperity, of joy, of favor, of victory, abundant life, heaven on earth. But just like them, they're delivered, they're saved, but now God wants to move them the rest of their life on the earth into a promised land. And guess what's there? Tests and trials. What happens to us when we become Christians? Things we want to move into? Things that try to keep us out of those things. So the children of Israel is a type and shadow of the church and type and shadow of us and what we experience. So here they are, delivered, they're saved from the Egyptians, miraculous thing, and now they're getting ready to move into the promised land, but they realize, oh my gosh, it's hard out there. Well, it's hard out there, people, because there's a devil. And the Bible says, now here's what we're looking at. These people fainted in what? did not reap. David said the way to cure fainting or quitting or losing heart is to be convinced of God's goodness, that I'm going to see it. So many people have been soured by him, by experiences. He's never failed you, just so you know. He's not the one that's ever failed you. Maybe your faith failed. Maybe people failed you. Maybe circumstances failed you. But God has never failed you. And if you'll stick with him, what looks like failure and mess up, he'll turn around to victory. But when people get soured and the tests and trials come, that's when they throw in the towel. I'm done going to church. This stuff doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. Never works for me. No, no. If you would stick with it, God would see you through to the victory. But let's be honest. I've been there. We just, I'm done with it. I'm not taking this anymore. You fainted. You fainted. There was reaping, but you fainted. But praise God, we can always get back on the reaping train. The best days of the rest of your life have not been lived yet. I don't care how much you failed, how much you missed it, how much time you wasted. Big whoop-de-doo. He's the God that can make up time. The devil will tell you, oh, you missed your shot. Well, the devil's a liar. He's the only one that missed a shot. We always have redemption. We always have forgiveness. We always have faith. And it says, the children of Israel lifted up their voice, cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or why don't we just die in Egypt? Or would God had we died in this wilderness? Why just can't we just die? Now, I mentioned this earlier in the first service. I'm a big fan of certain stand-up comedic routines and stuff. I just think it's hilarious sometimes. I'm going to tell you a joke. Okay? Ready for the joke? The joke is verse 3. You ready for a joke? I like jokes. Here's the joke. I'm just going to read the verse. The verse is the joke. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall? Now, this is what they're saying. They're saying, God brought us here to fall by the sword. Some people are getting the joke. To be fair, they've already heard the joke, though. They've already heard the joke, so to be fair. You know, sometimes you got to explain the joke after, and then people get it. The first service, nobody got the joke. They're only getting the joke because they've heard the joke before. Wherefore, the Lord has brought us in this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? So, oh, see, there's nobody laughing. You didn't get my joke. I'm going to explain the joke to you now. This is what they're saying. God supernaturally did one of the greatest miracles that mankind has ever seen. By splitting a body of water, making a frozen wall on the right side, a frozen wall on the left side, hardening the ground so 2 million people could get across, and the evil army that's attacking them, they try to go across, and the walls melt and gobble them up, and they drown, and he delivers them to the other side just so he could then kill them with a sword. That makes sense. But that's what they're thinking. Because the only reason they're in that place to be killed by a sword is because God already did what he did for them. See, now you get the joke. It's a joke. What happened from the time they walked across and saw that water? Oh my gosh. The ground's hard. We can get our babies across. We can get the elderly across. We can... My goodness, Lord, you're amazing. From that time to what they're facing now. Oh, he only did this to kill us by the sword. He thought that would be funny. How many times do we do the same thing? We've all seen God move in our lives. Maybe you're newer to this. Maybe you're starting to experience some things. You've all seen God do something that you said, yeah, that was God. That was the only way I could get through that was God. Right. And then time goes by, and here we are in another thing that the only thing that can get us through it is God, and we are what? Discouraged. And you know what happened? Your expectation in his goodness towards your life went out the window. Somewhere from seeing the walls of frozen water and hard ground, from being in awe of God and celebrating when they got to the other side, the Bible says they sang songs and rejoiced. To this short time later, when they're facing opposition again, the expectation went out the window, and what happened? They fainted. Because they did not believe, hey, we saw his goodness once, we're going to see it again. They must have thought, he's left us here. Do you see what happens when you're not convinced of God's goodness? You faint. You faint. Because there's things coming in the world that you can't fix. That your money can't fix. That your jobs can't fix. That your medicine can't fix. That the doctors can't fix. And if that can't happen, and then you're also believing that God's gone, you are hopeless. And they fainted that quick. Wow. I do find the follow-up joke in verse 4. And they said to one another, just let us make a captain, let's return unto Egypt. Well, that's a good idea, but to get back to Egypt, you're going to need God to split the stinking Red Sea again. And maybe if they're going back into slavery and God would just open up for them again, they'd walk by and say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, he would have got us into that place over there. He did this twice. But people don't think right when they're being oppressed. That's why you got to get it in your heart. And we'll close with this. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. So that was a situation where we see people lost heart. They lost their expectation in what God would do. And it caused them to faint and they didn't reap. They wandered for 40 years. But I want to show you a situation where the only thing that would make it possible to walk this out, what this man did, was to have an absolute sold-out mentality that God is good towards me. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested or tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, verse 18, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Or basically through Isaac, that's where the covenant is going to keep going. But in verse 17 it says that Abraham offered up his son. Now let me tell you the story to catch people up. In Genesis 22, remember Abraham waits 25 years for a baby. He's 100, Sarah's 90. It's a miracle of God. And now God tells him in Genesis 22, Abraham, take your son up on a mountain and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice. On the surface, it looks like God has lost his mind. But God is the most sound of wisdom. It looks like God all of a sudden took a cruel pill. But God is the least cruel of any. It looks like God's love went out the window, yet God is always nothing but love. We don't think like he thinks. We don't see like he sees. Our ways are not like his ways. I'll give you an example. I remember sitting with a couple in my office. They've long been offended and left this church. And they sat there and they were downright mad at me. And they said, how do you expect me? I said, first of all, I don't expect you. I just told you what God expects you to do. How do you expect me to tithe when I can't, when it's not going to cause me to not be able to feed my kids? Well, in their mind, the tithing message was a message of hurt. To do something to harm them. I've talked to somebody before that their faith's all messed up, and get to the bottom, they need to forgive. But they were hurt by something that really happened. And I'll tell them what Jesus said in Mark 11:26. For Mark 11:24 and 25 to work, for your faith to work, you have to forgive. Yeah. And he didn't say only things you wanted to forgive. He said anything against anybody. Right. And I talked to the person. You need to forgive. Brother, that's your problem. And they scream at me. I'm not kidding. You scream at the phone. How dare you, Pastor Mike, tell me that I should forgive? I said, whoa, brother, I didn't tell you. Jesus did. No, you're telling me, they kept saying to me. I said, I didn't say it. This is stuff I deal with all the time. No, I said, no, Jesus said it. How are we going to tithe? How do you expect? I don't expect it. God does. But the forgiveness message was a message of hurt. And like they weren't justified anymore and that nobody was compassionate on them. When the whole time God's saying, if I can get you to forgive, I can get you into something. If I can get you to tithe, I can get you into something. And God's telling Abraham, go up there and kill your son. If you're not convinced in God's goodness, you'll never do that. Just like the person that's not convinced in God's goodness concerning the tithe, they won't tithe. Or they won't forgive. Or they won't step out and do something that's hard on their flesh or hard on their mind because they're convinced, if I do that, I'm in trouble. But God tells Abraham the most impossible thing in the world to do. Go kill your child. Unless you are sold out. That he's good and there's more to this. Because on the surface, I remember starting to tithe. I remember even going to lots of things. Quitting my job, going to Raymond, thinking, on the surface, Lord, sure looks like you're putting me in a pickle, but I trust you. I believe you. You're only good to me. When God told the woman in 1 Kings 17, give your last meal to the prophet, it looked mean and hurtful and cruel. It was the doorway into her best life. It was. When God told Noah, build an ark, he became the laughing stock. He became, what is this old man doing? Never seen rain like this. He's building an ark. He said, I trust you, Lord. Hey, Elijah, go in the wilderness where there's no paycheck and there's no grocery stores, there's no means of provision. Boy, Lord, it sure looks like you're leading me to bad things, but I trust you, and it was the catapult. Yes. Amen. Well, we know the story that Abraham took his son up, bound him on the offering, and was going to kill him. And right as he was bringing the knife down, an angel appeared and said, stop. Thank God he was on time. Oh, man. Imagine if the angel would have got held up at the red light or something. Oh, good Lord. Would have been a mess. He stopped him right in time. He said, don't kill your son. And there was a ram that was caught in the thick. He said, offer that. But he said, because you have obeyed my voice, the Lord was speaking through the angel, and have not withheld your son, your only son Isaac, blessing, I will bless you. Multiply, I will multiply you. And he goes on and lists all these blessings. There was a door of obedience that was walked through that looked scary, that looked hard and difficult, but he believed God. And he did it, and it led to things. But here's what I want you to see. So it says in verse 17 and 18, God, by faith, Abraham offered his only son. How did he do it? Verse 19, look at how good he thought. Like he's not just going up there, you know, saying, oh, I'm just going to show the Lord I'm here, and then wasting his good old time and thinking, any day you want to stop this, Lord. No, he put him on the altar and is going forward to do what God said to do. But you know why he did that? Verse 19. Accounting or figuring or chalking it up that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You know what Abraham said? Fine. I'll do what you said, but I know you're good, and I know I trust you, and you're faithful, and you would not give me a son after 25 years, just like the children of Israel. How would they think that after God brings them through the Red Sea, escapes the Egyptians, that he's there to kill them by a sword? You say, those people are so stupid. Why would you? After God paid the ultimate price and reached into his wallet, pulled out the blood of his son, slapped it on the table, why would you think he, after doing that, is not interested in your healing, in your money, in your mind, in your kids, in your relationships? We do the same thing. And Abraham's saying, okay, I know you're good. I've seen too much. If I do this and kill my son, you have to raise him from the dead. There's no way you're giving me a son after 25 years, perform that miracle for me to kill him and that be the end. And some of you get a revelation. There's no way that God's brought me this far, paying for what he did for me, to leave me in what I'm facing now. But so many people have such a low expectation of his goodness. Abraham had a high one and said, I'll do it, I'll kill him, but you're raising him up. You're raising him up because you're good. You're not going to let my son die. Praise God. I think of all the times I had to do difficult things. I mean, the Lord's had me do some pretty darn difficult things. I mean, you can't even get people that don't want to do nursery to do nursery. Or to serve, to serve. And it's like, Lord told me as a young man, pack up and go to Oklahoma with no money in a 1990 Nissan pickup, no family, no help, no nothing. Just go. You better get a job when you get there because you have no money to pay for it. And I did it. Told me to quit a job with a baby on the way that put me $2,000 short a month. And I did it. Appendix blew up, $40,000 hospital bill. Told her to quit her job so I could pastor church full time. Was going to set us way back financially, not $2,000 short a month, but a lot. And I did it. Amen. Told me to start a church of stick in South Bay, New York. This isn't brag on Pastor Mike moment. That's not what I'm doing. The only reason I did any of those things, because remember, you have to walk it out. Abraham had to do the ark. Elijah had to walk to the wilderness. Right? Moses had to lift the stick above the water. The woman had to give the meal. The servants had to walk to the water pot, the wells with the water pots to bring back the water. The only reason I could do it is because in all those scary, difficult situations, I was convinced. From the time that Reverend Marty Blackwater started teaching me about this and my eyes opened up, I started getting into scriptures that tell me that God is good, that he loves me, and meditating. That's where the book His Goodness came from, that the Lord had me write. Those scriptures, those things were in my heart. It's like, it looks, I don't know how I can do this, but you won't leave me. You're good to me. I can tithe during this. I can go during that. I can pack up and go. You're with me every step of the way. Only because I was convinced of God's goodness. And then I didn't faint. It's not because I'm some amazing, you just have something we don't have, Pastor Mike. No, that's bull. That's a lie that tries to put me on a pedestal. I'm not on a pedestal. I mean, I'm up here today. I'm on a platform, not a pedestal. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm not some better than you. You can have more than I have. Just have more faith. You can believe God more than I can. Absolutely. There's an anointing and a call on my life for ministry, but not. I'm not anointed in faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by taking time. Faith comes by renewing the mind. I had to do that same as you do. You might not be able to stand up here and do what I do. But the only reason I could do it is because of a calling and an anointing. But believing God to quit a job and to obey him, that didn't come from an anointing. That came from a renewal of the mind to his goodness. Again, a whole host of utterance that was not shared in either service. I'm so amazed by him. Because I get ready to preach for a third time, and I'm like, I'm so sick of hearing my own self. And I'm in the office. I say, Father, I thank you. You're going to show up in this service. Yeah. Thank you for utterance, Father. Thank you, Lord. And this has just been so light and easy during this service. So next week, to be continued. I know we hate that. To be continued on our TV shows, especially when you didn't have DVR and all that. But it kept you coming back. Yeah. To be continued next week, we are going to look at demonstrations or pictures of his goodness to get it so in you that you are just so convinced that whatever's coming, whatever you're in now, he is working on it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your precious word this morning. I am amazed, Father. I've the same topic for three services in so many different things. Father, it's just a display of your goodness and kindness because I am not smart enough to say different things or to come up with different things that would preach. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us. Lord, we are truly in awe of you. We are not magnifying a man. A man can't do anything without the anointing. You're the vine, we're a branch. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But Lord, we thank you for what we received this morning. Father, we need to have a bigger view of who you are and what's to come. and what you're doing in our lives, I pray that this would start to stir people up. That their faith in you would grow big and big and bigger, stronger and stronger. That no matter what they encounter, they're smiling and they're shouting and they're rejoicing because they know that you are with them and you'll never leave them or forsake them, and you are the God of the impossible. I just thank you so much. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and to close your eyes. The best thing in the world, the best promise ever, is salvation. It's the equivalent of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea and escaping the hands of the Egyptians. They were delivered from darkness. And the equivalent for us is when you're not saved or if you've not received Jesus, you are what the Bible calls in the grips of the power of darkness. You're in the devil's kingdom. But Jesus died on the cross, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And through him, belief and faith in him, we receive those benefits of salvation and eternal life. If you're here this morning or you're watching by live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, am I confident without a shadow of a doubt that I would go to heaven? Because I'm telling you, I am confident without a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven. You say, Pastor Mike, how can you be so sure? Well, thankfully, God gave us directions and instructions. And he said if we would believe on his son Jesus, we would not perish. He didn't say you had to have enough church attendance or your good deeds have to outweigh your bad. No, he said it's what you do with his son. So if you could say, I'm not sure, I think I'd go to heaven, or I don't know, let's get off that fence of uncertainty. And let's get over to where we know that we know. And all you have to do is two things. Number one, do you believe in Jesus? Now, not a head knowledge, and it doesn't mean you have to know everything about him. I'm talking in your heart of hearts. You can't explain it, but you just know. You just know that he's real. That's belief in him. But the second thing is you must call on his name, which is to receive him. And you don't have to do that on your own. We'll pray a prayer, and you can pray it. We won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. And, of course, you can't do that if you're watching by live stream. But I want to lead people into salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here? You've never accepted Jesus, and you want today to be the day that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If so, raise your hand high in the air if you want to receive him. If you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. You don't have to do it again. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe you got in trouble. Maybe you didn't obey God. He doesn't take away your salvation. He said, I'll never leave you. Is there anybody that's never done that here? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands. So I trust that we're all walking in that in here. But if by chance someone in this service or by live stream right now has not received Jesus, it's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. It's the believing and receiving. So I want to encourage those people that I can't see or maybe that didn't raise your hand. Get alone with the Lord today and cry out to him. Call on his name. All you simply have to say is, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he'll do his part. He'll save you. But just like the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, God didn't say, now wander in the wilderness. He said, no, once I saved you, I want a promised land for you. God has more for all of us than just being saved and going to heaven. He has a promised land. But just like it took someone like Moses and it took someone like Joshua to lead them, God puts people in our lives. He's put people in my life to lead and guide me. And he wants to put somebody in your life to lead and guide you, and that's a pastor. Jesus said you need a pastor to get the blessings. And not because once you get a pastor, it's because a pastor, done rightly, will teach you how to walk into these things, will teach you the Word of God, like a shepherd does, guides and leads. So I encourage you, get a good church, a Bible teaching church. Feel free to make this your church. We'll teach you the Word. We'll help you. We'll pray for you. We'll lead you into what God has for you. But if this isn't the place for you, find out where it is. But plant there, be faithful, be a blessing, and watch what God will do in your life. And for all that are listening right now and watching, if you're in a place of hell on earth and you're in a place of it's trying and testing, don't quit. Don't quit. Remember the vision the Lord gave me for my cousin. Our blessing's right around the corner. Our deliverance, our change, our turnaround, just keep giving him your faith. Let's go ahead and let's praise this morning. Father, we bless you. and honor you and praise you. We thank you and love you so much. You are building us up for some things. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, we're going to take up an offering real quick. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. This is tithes and offerings. And I do want to encourage everybody, if you're a part of this house, we all need to take and have part in the house and be a blessing to the house, you know. It's interesting with your own home, you know. You don't just expect somebody else is going to pay the mortgage or the rent. Well, somebody else will do that. Well, somebody else will take care of that leaky faucet. Well, you know, the electric bill, somebody else will pay that. You don't, if you do, you're going to be in trouble. But you know how many people have that mentality towards the church? They think, I'm here just to hear the word, but it's not my responsibility to provide. This home is more important in your life than that natural home will ever be. Not saying downplaying your natural home. You might love it and you might enjoy and have lots of memories and it's comfortable there. That home doesn't save you. This home will. The corporate anointing. And so we have a part to make sure this is provided for. And we see this principle in the Word. And I always like to bring this out during the building fund. But look what David said in 1 Chronicles 29:3. He says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. What's he saying? I care. I love the house of God. He said, and then verse 3, 4, and 5, he talks about all that he brings to the house for the construction of the temple, the furnishing of the temple, the maintaining of the temple. He's saying, I'm doing this because I love the house of God. We give what we love. Where we give is what we love. And then he said at the end of verse 5, who then is willing to consecrate his service, the stand of the Lord? It's not talking about nursery here. It's not talking about being an usher or serving in the sound booth or on worship team. Or cleaners. He's talking about the service of giving. There's a service of giving that nothing else can take the place of. People don't realize how vital money is to the body of Christ. It's a lifeblood to keep the doors open and the message going forth. And look at what David said. The way we're going to get this temple built, where people are going to come and have their lives changed, notice who he's looking to, the people of the temple. He just says, who else is going to help me here with this? Come on, this is our home. And then look at verse 9. I love verse 9. This is what we all should be like. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. When Pastor Mike fills out his tithes and his offerings, it's not a disgruntled thing. I am so thrilled to sow into a home that I love, that's changed my life, that's helped me. So I want to encourage you, remember this about God. The tithe, the offering, can be scary at times. Remember, he's never trying to hurt you. He's always got two purposes. Take care of the house and get more into your life. Let's go ahead and pray. And after we pray, we'll dismiss row by row. I encourage you to go out, drop your offerings in. And kids, there is a blessing there for you, each of you. Go ahead and take one if you want it. Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity, Father, to sow into our church, our home, our spiritual home, the place that keeps us safe, keeps us right, keeps us helped. Lord, we just declare over this home that all the needs of Family Church South Dayton are met, fully funded, fully supplied. And Lord, those that are faithful to obey what you've said concerning your word, we thank you for the blessings that you said they can have, increase, promotions, divine ideas, wisdom, and favor financially. Unexpected supernatural blessings and supernatural debt payoff come their way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, feel free to stay out in the hallway or stay off to the side. We want to pray for you. Remember, no Wednesday service because of camp meeting. Love you. Appreciate you. You are dismissed. Hi, Nikki. How are you? Hi, Maddie. Hi, Gabby. It's so good to see you, girls. I've missed you. You look so pretty. You've been out in the sun a little bit, haven't you? I can tell. You tan up so nice.